We, our town supervisor's name is Bill McKenna. And he has said to us, I was laughing when you were speaking because the things you were saying were exactly what he has been telling us. My hands are tied. The town lawyer says there's such and such and such and such. Could you please, from your spot right now, as though you're talking to Bill McKenna, and say it by name, Bill, and say something to him right now that could make sense to him?
Hey, Bill, listen, let me explain a couple things to you. You don't want to be on the bleeding edge of these small cell installations. And so you're going to want to actually partner up with your local citizens because they're smart and they figured this out, okay? Here's the deal. All that's going on is a real estate grab, and they're going to get the cheapest real estate possible in order to build out the maximum number of cell towers. They may never get the 5G thing off the ground. They don't even care. They just want to put 4G everywhere because they make a shitload of money from it, okay? And what are they doing? All they're doing is going to the warehouse to order up whatever they can. Well, what are they picking? They're picking cables and radios and antennas that are designed for macro towers. These are not quote-unquote small cells. These are macro towers. How do we know? Well, the RF engineer in Sonoma, California in September 2019 admitted it in the record. And he said, yeah, we see these things all the time. It's exactly the same radios, exactly the same antennas that they put in the tower. And you know what? The power's the same too. Because you have to think about all three things. Vertical, horizontal, power. Vertical, horizontal, power. If you haven't regulated all three things, Bill, you've done nothing. Well, why is that? Well, you might spend, a good 3 or 4 hours arguing with back and forth about whether 200 feet or 300 feet is the right setback, and people go to the mat, and they figure, we'll settle at 250 feet. The wireless industry's laughing their way to the bank. It doesn't matter if they're 200 feet away or 300 feet away. All they have to do is turn up the power. What you have to do is you have to dial up the right amount of power, effective radiated power, for the mix of vertical and horizontal. Well, what are vertical and horizontal? Vertical, the number of feet off the ground where the antenna is installed. That's vertical. Horizontal, the number of feet offset from where people live, sleep, and heal. Got it. Power, effective radiated power. Why do we like effective radiated power? Because we, mere mortals, can calculate effective radiated power with third grade math, and so can your city council. You can do it with me. Come on, let's do it. Let's do a couple of calculations together. You can do it. I can do it right now. What if we do, if we want to look at travel? Hey, Bill, you get in your car. How far did you travel? And you tell me, I traveled 30 miles an hour. And I look at you and I go, what? I asked you how far you traveled, but you only told me the speed. So what you mean to say is that you traveled 30 miles an hour for a half an hour, so you traveled 15 miles, right? Yeah, that's it. Okay, that's for multiplying two numbers together. Now let's pick the right two numbers off of the antenna spec sheet. Let's go for maximum of power input into a particular channel, because each one has a different frequency. You don't have to be all bamboozled by the frequencies. It's just a bunch of labels, right? It doesn't really matter that one is 4G or 5G. It's just a bunch of electricity and data going into one channel versus another. And so just sit down and understand what's the maximum that can be put into that particular channel. And what there might be 5 channels, there might be 10 channels, who knows. The number that you have on your spec sheet, it'll show you right there. So, simple, 100 watts of maximum power input into one of those channels for a particular frequency. We'll call it 700 megahertz. Times the antenna gain. Antenna gain is a unitless fraction. It just is a way to say we're going to increase it by some amount because we've figured out a way to, instead of a sphere of radiation, we're going to squash it and make it kind of more like a donut, and we're going to send it a little further out. And by doing that, that's antenna gain. So they range anywhere from 6 to 10 or 12, sometimes 16. But each one is unique. It depends how tall the antenna is, and it depends on, you know, a bunch of different factors. But it doesn't matter. They put it on a spec sheet. Cool. So for this particular frequency, maximum input power times antenna gain equals effective radiated power for that frequency. Cool. What's the next frequency? There it is. What's the next frequency? There it is. What's the one after that? John, there's 4 or 5 frequencies on these antennas. There you go. Add it all up, and you're going to get to a number. That's what that antenna can do, you see. And so they put these antennas on that are macro tower antennas, and they will tell you the story. We're only putting 40 watts of power into it. But you're smarter than that. You know the antenna has the ability to put out over 2,000 watts of power. The only difference is, once we own the real estate on the pole, well, then we can come back next year and put in whatever radio we want, and you have no say or visibility into it. So you don't want to give them unfettered use of your poles. You want to go the other way. You want to say this: what's the minimum amount of power that will get us what is what you have preemption for? What do you have preemption for? Telecommunications services. That's what you have preemption for. Do you have preemption for information services? Well, you used to, but you don't anymore because you put through the net neutrality order. You remember that one? We don't want to regulate the internet anymore. Remember that?
Right.
Yeah. Well, October 1st, 2019, that thing went got a decision from the D.C. Circuit Court of Appeals. And they said the following. You know, you wrote this kind of crazy order here, and you said that you wanted to no longer regulate the internet. You're going to willingly pull your own teeth. Okay. You're not regulating the internet anymore. I got that. And then you wanted to turn around and make sure that you preempted the states to not get in the way and pass their own net neutrality regulations. They don't have say, because you're going to preempt them. Because, you know, what you want as an agency is the most important thing in the world. So that's it. That's what you asked for. And they looked at it, and they said, oh, you guys, you've been fighting for a couple of decades. Look, this is ridiculous. You had the ability to regulate the internet. You're willingly giving it up. This is nuts. All right, we're constrained by some Supreme Court decisions, and we have to let you take it back to Title I, Information Services. But guess what? The minute you did that, you no longer regulate the internet. You can't preempt the states. And oh, by the way, we gave you 20 pages of excellent analysis of every angle of preemption there ever was, and you're out of the preemption business right now. We just put you out of the preemption business. And guess what? This thing passed through. The FCC had a chance to appeal it. They didn't. This thing is solid. It's in the books. This is great. So you go back to, well, what do you have preemption for? Telecommunication service. What's the definition of telecommunication service? It's moving communication information from point A to point B without any transformation. No DNS. No caching, no calculation, it just sends it along. That's the definition. What does that today? Phone calls. Only phone calls. Not texts, not internet, not video, and not gaming. All those other things require DNS and caching. By definition, there's no preemption for any of these wireless services other than for phone calls. Ta-da!